Praise be Jesus and Mary. In the history of the church, there have been various objections to what the church teaches about Our Lady's perpetual virginity, and two of them are found in this morning's gospel. The first, where it says, "When his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, but before they lived together," some translations say before they came together, "she was found with child through the Holy Spirit." And so some have understood that to mean that, but before they came together, as in eventually they did come together and have relations. And the second one is at the end of today's gospel, where it says, "He," Saint Joseph, "had no relations with her," Mary, "until she bore a son, and he named him Jesus." Okay, so the word until is sometimes understood erroneously to mean that after the birth of our Lord, they had relations. And there are two other instances in the gospel that I can think of that some use to object to the church's teaching on Our Lady's perpetual virginity. For example, where the gospel talks about the brothers of our Lord, or our Lord being the firstborn of Mary. And the Catechism addresses some of these objections. Paragraph 499 in the Catechism, affirming Our Lady's perpetual virginity. Now, when we say perpetual virginity, we're talking about Our Lady being a virgin before, during, and after the birth of our Lord. Before, virgin, no relations with a man. During, that is, it is a miraculous birth in which her virginal integrity remained intact. After, no relations with, presented in sacred art by means of three stars on Our Lady, two on her shoulders and one on the forehead of her mantle. So the Catechism says, "The deepening of faith in the virginal led the Church to confess Mary's real and perpetual virginity, even in the act of giving birth to the Son of God made man." Right? The deepening of faith, that is, development of doctrine, what was not explicit at the beginning, became explicit later. In fact, Christ's birth did not diminish his mother's virginal integrity, but sanctified it. And so the liturgy of the church celebrates Mary as a Parthenos, the ever-virgin. Against this doctrine, the objection is sometimes raised that the Bible mentions brothers and sisters of Jesus. The church has always understood these passages as not referring to other children of the Virgin Mary. In fact, James and Joseph, who are called brothers of Jesus, are the sons of another Mary, a disciple of Christ, whom Saint Matthew significantly calls the other Mary. They are close relations of Jesus according to an Old Testament expression. And then we read in a commentary, the Haydock Bible Commentary, which addresses the other issue about the word "before they came together" and "until." From these words, "before they came together," Helvidius, he's a Christian writer of, I believe, the 4th century, and others have started objections, which have been answered long ago by Saint Jerome, where he shows in many examples from Scripture that the words "before" and "until" do not signify what happened afterwards, for that point is left indefinite, but only what was done before or not done before. Thus, when it is said, "Sit thou at my right hand till I make thine enemies my footstool," okay, that's in the Psalms, by no means signifies that after the subjection of his enemies, the Son of God is no longer to sit at the right hand of his Father. In common conversation, When we say that a man died before he reached his 30th year, we do not mean that he afterwards attained it. And then, somewhat humorously, he gives this example about Helvidius himself. Or should we say that Helvidius died before he did penance, that is, before repenting of his errors? We cannot mean that he afterwards did penance. The same conclusion should be deduced from the words, before they came together. The end being accomplished by the power of the operation of the Holy Ghost, without their going together. If we should advance that such a man was cured before he went to a physician, the natural inference would be that he did not go to a physician at all. Thus also in the language of Scripture, the word first begotten does not mean after whom others were born, but before whom no one was born, whether there were further issue or not. And the reason is because the law required that a sacrifice should be offered for the firstborn, and that he should be redeemed very soon after his birth. Nor did it allow the parents to wait and see if any other son should be born. And so we renew our faith in Our Lady's perpetual virginity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.